Mattis is here to speak with us today. I met him some time ago in his office at Table Bluff and have had the opportunity to be with him in conference, actually in Indianapolis and other True North events and other times, and heard him speak. And I'm so happy that he is the first to be speaking in our season of stories from people whose ancestors lived in this region at the time of settlement in the middle of the 19th century. So they go back much further than that. So, Ted.
Hello, Ted Hernandez. My name is Ted Hernandez. I'm the chairman for the Wiat Tribe, and what I just said is hello. First, I have to make an introduction, and that is to my lovely wife, Rose Hernandez. Rose has kept me balanced for 31 years now. So a little bit about myself before I go into Wiat culture and Wiat stories. And what I seen today and I heard today is what I need to talk about. So I'm going to give you a little testimony about myself and how I ended up here. So in the 1990s, we were living in a small town called Williams, California. We had three kids. We were happy. We had, great job, and we're doing things. We're moving forward, going to a nice community church. And I was at work one day, and my wife told me that we had a house on the reservation. And I asked her, "What house?" And she goes, "We got a house on your reservation at Table Bluff." And I go, "When did we apply for a home in Table Bluff?" And she told me, it was probably one of those surveys that you took, but I didn't tell you what it was for. Knowing that she did this, I really didn't want to move back to the reservation because I heard stories from my grandmother and how it was and all the addictions that were there. And I really didn't want to raise my kids there. So Rose did the best thing. She goes, "So go talk to your grandmother." My grandmother was a very spiritual woman. And there's some stuff that I will let you know as I go into this story. But she told me to go talk to her. And my grandmother wasn't doing well. So I went and talked to her. And I told her, I go, "Grandma, we have a house on the reservation and I don't want to go because of what you told me." And she told me what I have always told you to do, pray. And he'll answer your questions. So I came home, I told Rose, and that night I prayed. And he came to me. And many of you been to Table Bluff? We have a back 40, and there's a big tree there. And that's what I call the lonely tree. It stands by itself, and it keeps us protected. But he came to me that night in my dream, and we were standing on this hill, which I never recognized before. And he pointed to the reservation and the people down there. And as your song said, he goes, "Go give them water." And I told Rose the next morning, "We're moving." There's more to this story where I played Jonah as well. I fought it. But we finally ended up moving here. And I still commuted down south to work for 6 months. And during those time I was commuting, I was getting pulled over, severe speeding tickets. I was getting in, my cars were breaking down. And my wife said, "Stop being a Jonah and come home." So I came home and we applied for a job. And then whoever thought that you would get a job the same day that you applied for it. So he had plans for me, and I stopped being a Jonah, and I came home. The more of this story is that he has plans for all of us to do what we need to do. We came home in 2000, where when we came here, it was one of the most beautiful sights that I've ever seen. And I was walking behind the reservation, and I saw this hill where this tree stood. And I had to come home, and I said, "Rose, I just saw the hill and the tree where it stood in my dream." So I knew it was meant to be. But as time went on, I kept worrying and worrying because I didn't know how to be a Wiat, because I didn't know what it meant to be Wiat. My grandmother kept those stories from us until I was a late teenager. We always thought we were Italian. And the reason for that is because she is one of the young ladies that were taken to the boarding schools in the early 1900s. These boarding schools were where they were taken and told them they could not practice their ceremonies, their beliefs, their culture. They had to learn English and not speak Wiat. So my grandmother was afraid that all of us would be taken away and taken back to these boarding schools. So she never told us our history and our stories until we became late teenagers. And then one day, all my friends were talking about their ancestry and their native history, and I came home and I told my grandmother, "I wish I was Indian." And she goes, "You are." I said, "What?" She goes, "You're Wiat." And that's where she started telling me the stories about the reservations and how they were, all the addictions. And I learned. And she taught me ways. She couldn't teach me the language because she forgot it, which is one of the saddest parts I would think of. But she told me that you are who you are. You are here for a reason. And always remember that. So she taught me the history. I could learn as much. And I read the history books. And there wasn't really much on Native Americans. There wasn't really much on how true history was. You know, we read things that people put in the real history, but it's not real history. We tend to forget about how our Native children were taken from our parents and their grandparents and their aunties and their uncles and taken to these boarding schools. We forget on all these children that try to escape these schools to come back home to practice their ceremonies, their prayers. And many died during these escapes as well, trying to get back home. Many suffered. We forget about how we did things to our Native women to sterilize them from not having kids. And that stopped in the late 1970s. We forget about how there are bounties on indigenous people, especially here in Humboldt County, for $5 a scalp. Because we are wild Indians, but truthfully we weren't. The Wiats were a peaceful tribe. The Wiats took in people that could not feed themselves, that were sick, that had no home, that had no place to sleep. And that's why it brought me to where I seen the young man standing on the scale when you guys are weighing the food. You guys are doing what the Wiats did. You're taking care of the community. You're feeding people that can't be fed. You're offering your home to people that need a home to place and rest their head. That's what the Wiats did. We brought them into our houses. We gave them a place to rest until they were healthy and strong to travel on. And you're doing this. You're accepting people into your house. You're accepting people into this community. And that's what it's about. Wiat history is that we were a peaceful people. We lived amongst everybody. But we go back to the real history. And that's what many of us know. Humboldt County is surrounded by all these beautiful redwoods. Where else can you go and be in God's great land? This is beauty. This is what surrounds us. This is what he gave us. But he also gave the Wiyah people a job. We call God creator, but we also call him Dodarik God with, which is above them, above old man. He gave us a role. He gave us our responsibilities. And one of the biggest roles was the world renewal ceremony. The ceremony was held every year on Indian Island, which we call Tulawat, right here in the center of the bay. The ceremony we practice to bring balance back into the world, to bring better harvests for the people, to bring better catches for the people when we went out and fished, to bring in better hunting seasons for the men that brought food to their families, and most importantly, to bring in healing for the people that were sick and couldn't heal themselves. That was our role. That was our job as Wiyah people. But it came to where greed stepped in and people wanted more. They weren't willing to share with the tribes. No, I want everybody to understand, it's not just the Wiyah tribes that were affected. It was all the tribes that surrounded us. Our cousin tribes, the Yuroks, the Hoopas, the Karuks, the Talawas, the Nangados, all were affected by this. But when we go back to Wiyah, because we're in Wiyah land, we were surrounded by so much beauty that we had their lumber, we had the gold, we had everything here. And greed stepped in. So one night in 1860, of February of 1860, we were practicing our ceremony. We were actually doing our ceremony, the World Renewal Dance. Our young men went to gather supplies for the next day. So in the ceremony, we do this ceremony during the daytime, not at night. But our other ceremonies we do at night. But this ceremony is held during the daytime. And that evening, our young men left the island in their dugouts to go get supplies for the next day. A militia of men knew this, and they knew when to come across. They came across in their boats. They didn't bring guns. They brought clubs, hatchets, and whatever they could use. While the men, or the elders, the women, the children were sleeping, they took it upon themselves to nearly wipe out the Wiyah tribe. All for greed. Now, as I said earlier, the Wiyah tribe were not a warring people. We were a peaceful people. We would have shared. But nobody came and talked to us. Nobody came and asked us. They took it upon themselves to just take. Take something that God gave the Wiyah people to take care of. And since that time, I have noticed, being a Wiyah man, being a ceremonial person, I do not call myself an elder because I have not reached that status yet. But I have seen things. I have seen how this community is affected. We're affected by alcohol. We're affected by drugs. It's because we are not healed. But we're working on that process. And soon we have the island back where we can actually complete all the ceremonies that we need to complete and bring balance back into this county. But it's just not the Wiyah people that will bring the balance back. It's everybody that surrounds us here. Everybody that's in this community, everybody that's in this fellowship today, it's all of us that will bring this back. I always say, like my grandmother said, if they come into your home, feed them. If they come into your house tired, give them a place to rest. Accept them as your family. And that's what I do today. You are all here on Wiyah land, so I accept you as a Wiyah family. I don't turn nobody away. Because that's not the way to do it, and that's the way Wiyahs didn't do it. We're always accepting, and we're always loving people. To see what you guys are doing today is a miracle. It's something to be proud of. Because a lot of people do not think the way we think today. They have one thing in their mind, and that's more for them. But you're taking care of the community. You're taking care of everybody that needs to be taken care of. I give Pastor Catherine credit. She's a strong woman. And we also had our strong medicine women, which were like Catherine. They did our ceremonies for us. They were the ones that brought us to balance. And that's why I always say, we out women are the men's balance in this world. As God gave Adam Eve, he gave us husbands, our wives. They are our balance. They keep us balanced. When we dance in ceremony, our young ladies dance beside us to keep us in balance, to keep us in rhythm, to keep us in time. And I always say this, and I give all the ladies the credit and the women the credit. Without women, us men would not be here. The women have the strong medicine, and we look at it that way. They have to go through a lot more than we as men do. And as I said in the history, with the sterilization, with everything they went through, you ladies, I give honor to you because you are strong and you are what keep us men balanced. As for the elders that are sitting here today, I thank you as well. You're the ones that keep our stories. You're the ones that teach us our histories. And not too many people thank our elders for what they teach us and what they give us. It is of you that you're here and we're here. So I thank you all. We all have a role. That's part of our We Are history. You know, it's hard to talk about because nobody wants to understand what the Native Americans went through. And I don't want to be a party pooper because it's still going on today. We still have indigenous women that are ending up missing. They are one of the highest rates that end up missing in the United States. As well as Native Americans didn't get our rights to vote until the early, late 1900s. We weren't recognized as United States citizens until the late 1900s. We were here. We were the people of this land. But things were taken from us. So sometimes that's why you see Native men, Native women angry. Because that the rights that were not given to us, the things that were taken from us. But in time, they will heal. Healing will take place. They saw their aunties and their uncles and their grandmas, you know, they saw their feelings when they came out of boarding schools and heard the stories. And I see things changing. I see a community coming together. If people knew the real history of what happened here, everybody would understand. You know, Creator gave us this, as I said. I carry always my rock and my root with me, and this is my medicine. The rock keeps me grounded to wherever I'm at. I always have my rock with me, so I'm grounded. I keep my root with me. So when I get sick, I have my medicine. Or if I feel something's attacking me, I have my medicine to protect me. There's a lot of things that both cultures share. We share this land. We share the person that we worship. It's life. And I can't strongly say, you know, I had something that I was going to write down today, but it usually ends up, and Rose will tell you, when I prepare something, I always have to say something different because he tells me what to say, and that's what I say. So I speak from my heart. When Catherine asked me to come speak, I was kind of nervous because I really do not like speaking in large crowds. I'm a man of few words. But I was nervous. I told my wife that I was going, and she said she would go with me to keep me balanced. You know, we do have a small fellowship at Table Bluff where we serve our people. We serve them breakfast. We have a small Bible studies. You know, we may get people come in for Bible studies. But most importantly, we're there for to hear their prayers like we did today. And we'll say the prayers for them. And if I go back now back to a little history about the reservation, when we came to the reservation, it wasn't pretty. It was the stories that my grandmother told me. There was addictions. There was a strong alcohol addiction, strong drug addiction there. But as time grew, it's disappearing. The young men and women there are now raising their children. I don't see the parties that go on every night like they used to. It's quiet. It's settled down. Because he made a present there. And he said that he would take care of his people. And he has. I see our unemployment rate. Yeah, it's high, but it's not as high as it used to be. I see things changing. Because he's making it change. Other things I see. You know, I see communities coming together. I see tribes teaching us Wiyots, our Gurok cousins, our Hoopa cousins, teaching us our ceremonies. Because let me remind you, we lost our ceremonies during that day in the massacre. You know, everybody thinks that Indian Island was the only massacre. But during that week, there was other massacres. My family comes from the mouth of the Eel River, as well as Tulawat. So both my sides of the family were affected by this massacres. We went out, like I said, Native people became different people. Some claimed to be Portuguese, some claimed to be Mexican, so they wouldn't get a bounty on their head. So they wouldn't have to worry and fear for their families. They became a different culture. And that's pretty sad when you can't practice what you were told to practice. But now I see things changing in a different light. We are who we are. We are speaking up. We are saying enough's enough. And we're learning together. But I'll go back some more history. And this resolves our oldest daughter. So as you know, we did lose our ceremonies. We didn't practice them for over 150 years. This is the Wiyot tribe. We did not practice our dances for over 150 years. So we have this young daughter who's 14 at the time. Cousin me and her mom were asking, okay, we practice the Hispanic side as well. Her Rose is Mayan, as well as I'm Hispanic as well. And we said, we can do a Sweet 16, or you can do a quinceañera. You know, we were preparing her to become a young lady. And she goes, what did the Wiyot people do? And it stunned us because we didn't know how to answer her. We didn't know what to tell her what we did. So me and her mother told her, go talk to the elders and learn from them. So she did. And when she went to talk to the elders, the elder ladies, they were all stunned that she wanted to learn what we did for our young women. So they told her the stories. They told her that when a young woman became a woman, they would do a coming of age ceremony for her. This is where a ceremony is where a young woman would have her mentors, her teachers in her camp, teaching her how to be a young lady, teaching her how to grind acorns, teaching her how to cook, teaching her how to prepare seaweed, teaching her how to prepare fish. Teaching her how to make baskets. Teaching her how to make dresses. Teaching her how to make her maple bark skirts. They would all be together in one camp. And they would teach her this. And they asked her, are you really serious about doing this? Because if you are, we will help you. And she told them yes. And so she came back and told me and her mom what she was going to do. And it took 2 years to prepare for this ceremony. Because our daughter had to go out and gather her materials for her dress, for her maple bark skirt. And when the elder ladies seen this, they started showing her where to gather, how to gather, and started helping her make a dress, which you didn't see in 150 years. Well, she had everything together. We did our ceremony for her, and we did it at Piedmont, which is at the South Jetty. There stands as well a lonely tree. A tree that stands by itself is always sacred to me, because that means that he's always there with us and he's watching over us as we do ceremonies. So she did her ceremony. And believe me, in August, you know, it's supposed to be sunny here in Humboldt County, but it wasn't. It was foggy. It was cold. And she had to stand in the cold for 5 hours and dance. But she had the strength of her uncles, her father, and her friends that danced beside her to keep her warm, to keep her strong. And that's where I go back to saying that how strong our ladies are. Because us guys cannot do that. You know, we have it easy. And I know Terry's sitting right there. We have it easy when we dance. We dance with hides and arrows and feathers. We have the lightest regalia that men can wear. But when it comes to our young ladies, they're wearing over 100 pounds of regalia that they need to stand with and dance with. And that takes strength. So that's why I always put our ladies up high, because it takes, you guys have the strength to keep us balanced. We completed that ceremony. And then we moved on. And I always prayed. And he always told me that he would send mentors and teachers to me. Because there are some things that our elder men in the Wiats would not tell me, because they were still hurting from it. So I had to learn from Yurok cousins, Hoopa cousins, all about the Wiat history, the massacres, and what the men did and what the men went through. And now I teach my son, so he can teach his son. I taught my daughter so they can teach their children as well. But he did what he said, and he did provide me with my mentors. I have many mentors, many elders that have taught me many things. From a young man that didn't know much about his history, now I know a lot, and now I know the truth. And I share the truth with people when they ask me. Because people really need to know what happened here. People need to know the lands that they sit on, how it was taken care of. So we can go back to that route and take care of the lands. We're in a fight right now. And that is the removal of the Potter Valley Dam. That is blocking our waters on the Ill River. You know, we thought it was going to be a big fight. Let me back up just a little bit. There's always three good miracles in a row. One, the first miracle was that the Sea Eureka and the tribe talked. And we're still in the process of returning the island back to the Wiat tribe, to hold the island, except for the individual partials. That's one. We were preparing for our next fight, which was the saving of our river for our salmon, our eel, our sturgeons that all live in this river. Do you many remember in 2014 when the Eel River went completely dry in Fortuna, that you can walk across it? That's not supposed to happen. We are not supposed to let that river go dry. That river is the bloodline for the Wiat tribe. That river was named Wiat. That's where we get our name from. But the early settlers that were here saw these little critters swimming in the water, and they thought they were eels. So they named it Eel River. They didn't leave it the real name, but we still call it Wiat, because that's where we come from. But back to this miracle. So in January, we were preparing, me, my team, we're preparing for a big fight. You've seen how long it took for the Klamath dams to be removed, and how much fight they had to go through to get these dams removed, to bring back their health for their rivers. And we were preparing for a long fight. We were. We knew it was going to drag on. We knew it was going to be a long, long fight. But in January, we got word that the people that owned the dam, PG&E, filed bankruptcy and gave up their license for that dam. So now that puts us where we need to be. And now we're just waiting to see if anybody's going to purchase a dam to reuse it. But it's not happening. Because why? Because God is making sure that our rivers come back to natural health and the flow of it. So they'll come down. It'll be a lot easier than the other fights. And I know this. And our rivers will be back to health like they need. We'll get rid of the blue algae that's in that water so our kids can swim in it. So our fish will be healthy. So our animals will be healthy. We'll bring back the health of the river. It all happens for one reason, and that's to bring balance back here in this community. We'll continue. We'll continue to do what he wants us to do. We'll continue to move forward. We'll continue to ask for help. We'll continue to share our knowledge, share our traditions. We'll continue to eat together. We'll continue to do all this like we were supposed to do and share. I can go on and on about history, but I think I've struck most of the important parts. But as I always say, is welcome to Wyatt Country. Welcome to our beautiful backyard. This is one of the most beautiful lands that I've ever seen. Coming from a smog area with smog all around us to fresh air, clean air that we can breathe, you don't get that nowhere else but here. To see our kids being able to play in the ocean, play in the rivers, you don't see that anywhere else. But then, you know, we need to make sure our rivers are healthy so the kids can go swimming in there and not end up getting sick. And that's, you know, that's the best part, is hearing the children, because they are the future. They're the ones that are going to carry on the stories. And it's, you know, one part that amazed me the most being chairman is I was speaking to a Boys and Girls Club, and a young girl straight out asked me, how come the true history is not being told? How come what we're being told in the history books are lies? I didn't know how to answer that. I said, because then I told her, it's going to be you and your generation that's going to bring the history up. Continue to learn. Talk to the elders and continue to learn. So you can tell people the history. Because sometimes our history is something we don't want to talk about. We'll talk about other people's histories, but we won't talk about our own. It's like our skeleton in our closet. But we need to get that history out there so healing can actually take place. If we do not tell the truth and tell the history, the healing cannot begin. This is a start. The healing process has begun. But like I said, you know, I can go on and on and on. But I think I've fed you guys a lot for right now. And I am honored to be here today. And I am honored to speak amongst you. I am honored to work with Catherine and her missions as well. And True North's missions as well. We need to come together as one and as a whole community. If you don't mind, I would like my wife to come up here. And if it's all right, we would like to sing a song for you. And please join us. This song is called Coming Home, which one of your songs up on the monitor were. So, I'm not a good singer. I'm a dancer. I'm not a singer. I'll have my wife lead us off. And if you feel like joining us, please do, because they're easy words to remember. It's in Wiat, but it's easy. I mean, I picked it up pretty fast.
This is our coming home song, and it's from one of our elders out there. And what she when we started doing our culture, our tradition, or practicing it again, hold on, she sang this song. Nahi, nahi, noa. Nahi, nahi, noa. Nahi, nahi, noa. He noa, he noa. Nahi, nahi, noa. Nahi, nahi, noa. Nahi, nahi.
So that is our song, We're Coming Home, and he's coming home as well. He's coming home to be with us all. And our goal is to make sure that this land is prepared for him to come home to, so that we all can go home with him when it's time. So thank you again for having me. And then it was an honor, as I said. Thank you.